Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Listen, Liberal or Whatever Happened to the Party of the People? Is a 2016 political critique by Thomas Frank that examines the modern Democratic Party in the United States and argues that it drifted away from its historic working class base. Frank does not treat this as a simple matter of campaign strategy or messaging. Instead, he frames it as a deeper ideological transformation in which Democrats came to identify more strongly with professionals, experts, donors, and the so-called creative class than with wage earners and organized labor. The book is written as an argument about political power, economic priorities, and the social identity of liberalism in the era of neoliberalism. It is aimed at readers who want to understand why a party once associated with New Deal politics became closely tied to meritocracy, technocratic reform, and elite institutions. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the Democratic Party shifted from labor politics to professional class politics. Frank's central claim is that the Democratic Party stopped functioning as a party organized around working people and increasingly became a party shaped by professionals with advanced degrees. He argues that this shift was not accidental or cosmetic. It changed what Democrats valued, whom they listened to, and which economic outcomes they treated as politically realistic. In his account, the old language of wages, unions, and broad material security was gradually replaced by the language of expertise, innovation, and managerial competence. That matters because a party's social base often determines its priorities. If the most influential voters are attorneys, consultants, academics, tech workers, and policy specialists, then the party is likely to define progress in terms that fit their interests. Frank uses this transformation to explain why Democrats can sound progressive while still supporting policies that leave many ordinary workers behind. The point is not that professionals are inherently harmful, but that their worldview is not the same as the one historically associated with labor liberalism. Secondly, the failure of reform to preserve working-class representation. A major part of Frank's analysis focuses on political reforms that were supposed to democratize the party, but instead helped detach it from its working-class roots. He pays particular attention to the McGovern-Fraser reforms and the broader post-1970s restructuring of Democratic nomination politics. In principle, opening the system should have made the party more responsive to ordinary citizens. Frank argues that in practice, it did not produce durable working-class representation among delegates or leaders. Instead, the party became more open to issue activists, professionals, and people already fluent in political organizing. This distinction is important because formal openness does not guarantee social diversity. A party can remove old gatekeepers and still end up dominated by a new elite. Frank uses this history to show how a reform movement can unintentionally create a more polished and ideologically homogeneous party. The result, in his telling, was not a broader democracy inside the party, but a new leadership class with fewer connections to unions and the material concerns of wage earners. Thirdly, neoliberalism and the acceptance of market logic as common sense. Frank argues that Democrats increasingly embraced neoliberal ideas about markets, competition, and entrepreneurship, even when those ideas clashed with traditional liberal goals. This is one of the book's most important analytical moves because it explains how a supposedly progressive party could end up defending policies that benefited finance, business, and highly educated professionals more than workers, rather than treating inequality as a structural problem requiring strong labor power and public intervention. Democratic elites often accepted market outcomes as inevitable or even admirable. Entrepreneurship and technology were celebrated as inherently positive, while the costs of trade policy, wage stagnation, and weakened labor institutions were minimized. Frank does not claim that every Democrat consciously betrayed workers. His point is subtler once market logic becomes the language of seriousness, alternatives start to look unrealistic or outdated. That shift narrows the range of acceptable policy debate and makes it harder for the party to imagine a genuinely redistributive agenda. The book therefore reads as a critique of political common sense, not just of specific elected officials. Fourthly, Hillary Clinton, Silicon Valley, and the culture of technocratic liberalism. Frank uses Hillary Clinton as a symbol of the professional class orientation he sees in contemporary liberalism. In his view, Clinton represents a politics that is highly educated, managerial, and comfortable with elite networks, including ties to Silicon Valley, philanthropy, and policy expertise. The significance of this argument is not simply personal criticism. Clinton becomes a case study in how Democratic politics can sound practical and modern while remaining detached from the material insecurity of many voters. Frank sees this style of liberalism as confident in innovation, data, and institutional competence, yet less willing to confront the power of wealth and business interests directly. By connecting Clinton to these broader networks, he shows how the party's identity became intertwined with sectors that benefit from globalization and credentialed success. This helps explain why the party can appear culturally progressive and still be economically cautious. The chapter-level critique is really about a governing style that substitutes managerial professionalism for class solidarity, making liberalism look expert-driven rather than movement-driven. Lastly, the 2016 election as evidence of liberal detachment from the working class, the book's later material, including its afterword, places the 2016 election in the context of the Democratic Party's long-term drift. Frank treats Donald Trump's victory as a sign that the party had lost touch with a large segment of the electorate, especially voters who felt abandoned by trade policy, wage decline, and cultural condescension from elites. He does not present Trump as a solution or as a principled alternative. Instead, Trump's rise becomes evidence that the Democrats had failed to offer a convincing economic and social vision to workers who no longer believed the party spoke for them. This section gives the book practical urgency. It is not only about interpreting history, but also about diagnosing a political breakdown visible in real time. Frank's warning is that a party can win approval from educated metropolitan voters, while losing credibility among the people who once formed its base. The election, therefore, functions as a test case for the book's thesis about class realignment and the dangers of ignoring material grievances. In conclusion, listen. Liberal will be most useful to readers interested in American politics, party history, class analysis, labor politics, and criticism of neoliberal liberalism. It is especially relevant for progressives, political journalists, students of recent U.S. elections, and readers who want a skeptical account of how a major party can become socially liberal while remaining economically distant from the working class. The book offers intellectual value by connecting campaign behavior, elite culture, and policy choices into one argument about class power. Its practical benefit is that it encourages readers to look beyond slogans and examine who actually benefits from a party's priorities. What makes it stand out from many political books is its sharp focus on the social composition of the Democratic coalition itself. Rather than treating the party's problems as merely tactical, Frank argues that its deepest issue is ideological and class-based. That gives the book a more structural and unsettling diagnosis than a conventional election analysis. Even readers who disagree with Frank's conclusions are likely to find the book useful because it clarifies a debate that is often blurred by party language and campaign rhetoric. If you would like to support Thomas Frank, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.